Many of you have been enjoying Easter, the biggest date in the Christian calendar, but does it mean anything more to you than eggs and Easter bunnies? Church attendance is in decline. David Cameron moved away from religion in his Easter message. He didn't mention Christ or God once. I've been speaking to the theologian Andrew Greystone and the executive director of the Secular Society, Keith Porteous Wood. I asked Andrew what he thought of the lack of Jesus, the cross, or the crucifixion in the Prime Minister's Easter message.
Well, as far as David Cameron goes, I think it says something about the standard of religious education at Eton, that he's got such a shallow understanding of what the Christian faith means. But it's ridiculous to say that Britain is not a Christian country, because it's, our history is Christian, our legal system's based on Christianity, our school system was developed by Christianity, our parliament was formed around Christianity. But I don't find it a very useful thing to say. I think it's about as useful as saying that fish and chips is our national food.
But isn't this a similar issue to Tony Blair saying, "Oh, I'm not doing God"? And of course, we know very well he was lying through his teeth. But he realised that electorally, that wasn't a good idea. The British public don't like their politicians wearing their religion on their sleeve.
I think that's true, Keith,
and that's exactly why he took the position that he did. I think, though, that the Christian position is a lot less strong than is being suggested. I mean, we've already had a social attitude survey in 2010 saying that 50% of people regarded themselves as non-religious. And as far as the Muslims are concerned, the younger people are actually more orthodox. And if we do get to this position of 11%, as is suggested in 2050, that's going to be actually have a huge impact on our political life, because that will actually mean that there are 11% of people in the cities, which will mean actually almost half of them in some cities, some parts of the cities, they'll be quite orthodox. And they are very observant, and that's going to, we're going to have pressure for not just 26 bishops in the House of Lords, but we're going to be perhaps 26 imams in the House of Lords. Perhaps it's going to be called for a third of the schools to be more minority religions. We've got to be very careful, and I think the point that I suggest that our Christian friends, that the Christians think about, is that secularism isn't their enemy any longer. It might end up being their defender, because it's about everybody being equal in the state, regardless of their religion or none.
That's absolutely right. I do want faith to be the defender of secularism, and secularism to be the defender of faith. We all have to work out what we believe, and we have to live by it. And I've been waiting and hoping all my life for these ridiculous figures about how many people say they're Christians to fall to a level that's a little bit more accurate and honest. In my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation, if you asked someone whether they were a Christian, they lived in Britain, they would say yes, even if they'd never particularly thought about it, they'd darkened the doors of a church in their life. It was something that you were by default. Now, increasingly, being a Christian is something that you make a positive choice for. I think it's quite remarkable, actually, that the projection in this survey that's come out today says that by 2050, which is, 35 years hence, still 45% of the population of Britain will call themselves Christians.
But it's falling.
Oh, it's falling, yes, that's right.
So that's failure, surely?
No, it's not failure, it's honesty.
Why not?
It's a lot of people who might once have ticked a box saying, yes, I'm Church of England, saying, oh, no, now I've got the option of being a little bit more honest with myself and saying, I don't believe in this. What you're getting, though, is more integrity in both in those who say they've got no faith and more integrity in those who say that they have got a faith.
But now, even in that 45%, I think there's quite a big chunk of them who are actually cultural Christians, and that I think.
Well,
is
we don't know that, do we?
There's a big difference between the social attitude survey, church attendance on the one hand, And these figures that we're talking about that are largely kind of a little bit like the census ones, which there are lots of reasons why that's going to come up with a higher percentage of Christians. The way the questions are asked, it's really asking people, are you an observant Christian? And also, I think it's catching people who are saying, no, I'm not a minority faith. No, I'm not a nobody who doesn't have any moral compass.
But people are much happier to click to tick on the box that says no faith at all. And that's got to be a good thing in terms of honesty. Having said that, you know, on an average Sunday in the Church of England, never mind the Roman Catholic Church and all the other churches, in the Church of England, there are 1.3 million people. That's twice as many as there are members of all the political parties put together. It's still an enormous number of people. There are 5.4 million people in the UK who regard themselves as members of a church, not just people who drop in time and again, but members of a church. Now, that's declined a bit. That's true, but
it's halved in 50 years, hasn't it?
It's declined quite substantially, and the reason for that is because we're a largely materialistic, capitalist society.
So we can't call ourselves a Christian country anymore, right?
Well, it's a bit meaningless to say we're the only country
that actually gives bishops, yeah. Christian clerics, the right to sit. The only country in the world to give Christian clerics the right to sit in our parliament. We've got a third of the schools are totally funded by the state that are religious schools. England and Wales are the only countries in the world where there is mandatory collective worship in every maintained school. That's quite something for a Christian definition, I think.
If by saying we're a Christian country, you mean that the Christian community should have particular privileges because of its faith, then I would say absolutely not. Christianity needs to stand or fall on the quality of the lives of its adherents. But it's a bit meaningless to say we're not a Christian country when we've got such a deep-rooted Christian faith in our culture, and we need to be continuing to understand that better, just as we need to understand the other alternatives.
This report by the Pew Research Center suggests Christianity will be the minority religion in the long term, and the Muslim population is set to double to 1 in 9 Brits.
We need to get that a bit clear. It'll be a minority in that 45%, they're saying, by 2050 of the population will call themselves Christians.
Correct.
That's still four times as many as they project will call themselves Muslims. It's not that by 2050 there are going to be more Muslims than Christians in the UK.
But there are going to be more non-Christians in the UK than Christian.
Oh, yeah.
So does that not have a significance?
Oh, it does. Yeah. It's becoming more of a legitimate option for people to say, I don't believe anything. Now,
but church attendance
still a minority.
Is going to be so low. It's going down at an amazing rate. And those that are there, the vast majority of them are over 50. And the Sunday schools are almost a thing of the past. There's hardly anyone who's young that's going to church.
The institutional churches,
the Anglicans and the Catholics, are actually going to be almost obliterated and be overtaken proportionally by the new churches and the evangelicals and the charismatics, but they'll still be of a much smaller number.
That's what we see happening in societies that are heavily materialistic, heavily capitalist. China is on course to become the world's most Christian nation in the world within the next 15 years, because Christianity has always thrived amongst the poor and dispossessed. Now, having said that, it's not that people's belief in spiritual life is dropping. Three quarters of adults say there are some things in life that we can't explain by science. A vast majority of people believe in some kind of spiritual being, whether they call it God or not. It's just that people are shaping their faith and their belief in spiritual things in a different way. So they're finding different boxes to put it in, and that's a challenge for the church, and it's a challenge for
a bigger challenge, I think, is about this institutional privilege that we've talked about that's in bucket loads, that really goes back to a situation from 200-300 years ago, just is increasingly unsustainable, and yet we're building more and more church schools. I mean, the number of secondary church schools...
But every school, church school, Muslim school, whatever, every school has a set of values. In one sense, church schools are the ones that are honest about the values that they that they adopt. And the National Secular Society hasn't... You know, you have to say, whenever I get into a conversation with people who represent a secular movement, I want to say, Keith, how's it going with the food banks? How are you getting on with the youth work? How are you doing with looking after homeless people? How are you doing with the building the hospitals and the opening schools? How is that going? How are you managing to motivate people without a belief into the acts of generosity that people with faith
seem to manage? There are plenty of secular charities. I think there are a lot of Christians doing a lot of, and a lot of religious people doing a lot of good work. I'm not bashing religion. I'm just trying to say that
it shouldn't
have a privileged
position. But the challenge for you, Keith, is to see
how
we can motivate people who've come clean and said, I don't believe in traditional faith. How can we motivate them to be engaged in their communities and their societies in positive ways? Many of them
are. Without needing to have an afterlife to encourage them.
Oh, well, that's true, but there are many people who say, you know, death, I really don't believe that death is the bitter end. There are many people who say, I really don't believe that flesh and blood is all there is. There are many people who say, I believe that sacrifice can sometimes be the key that overcomes power. And if you believe those things, then the Easter story is the story for you, isn't it? It's the story that makes sense
for less and less people
of those beliefs. Yeah, because more and more people are saying, actually, I think I can stand on my own two feet. I think that my possessions and my pensions and things like that are going to be enough for me. And David Cameron is obviously playing to that particular audience. But there's a huge number of people who are saying, I still want to know what's going to happen to me when I die.
I think the reason that America is a lot more religious is that people feel much less secure because they don't have the kind of pension situation that some people have here, and the kind of the bedrock of the social security system and the welfare state, and so that would make people more religious.
I would love to see secular institutions facing up to the challenges of helping people to know how to live their lives. I mean, the sad truth is that the membership of the National Secular Society is falling. There's about as many members of the National Secular Society now as there are of the British Sausage Appreciation Society.
We're a pressure group. We're not taking loads of money out of the state.
And we need
we're
you,
just
Keith.
We're actually fighting for a more equal society without religious
and
privilege.
And we need you
this
to find the ways of giving people...
We're not a quasi-religion.
We need you to find ways of giving people hope in the way that Christian faith has given me hope and gives millions of people, tens of millions of people,
a decreasing
hope.
Number of people. But we're not there there are plenty of secular charities. I mean, Britain, despite its reducing religiosity, has been renowned for the amount of generosity in giving to appeals.
Brilliant.
It doesn't just have to come out of religion.
No, of course, no. But what you can't do with a secular society is help people to deal with the finality of death, to help people deal with the pain of unjust suffering.
We're not proposing to do that. It's about equality. You've got completely the wrong idea. This is a human rights organisation about equality.
And that's why people are still... in their different ways and diverse ways and sometimes new ways, turning to faith, to Christian faith, to Muslim faith,
to
other kinds of faith.
But you've spent the last 15 minutes suggesting that isn't the case. They're departing in their droves. And yes, we have to find a way of making sure people are compassionate, but I think an awful lot of people are compassionate without religion.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know people are departing from churches, but people are not departing from their belief in a greater power. You know, 2 in 5 people believe in the existence of a soul. At least a third of us believe that there's life after death. It's just that the churches are struggling, as Robert was saying earlier, to create containers that are appropriate for the questions and the faith.
Well,
that people
certainly,
if you take
the kind of position that the bishops are taking in the House of Lords over issues like gay marriage, assisted dying, mitochondrial disease. I mean, it's a pretty conservative organisation, rest of the peers are telling them where to go, never mind the rest of the country. They're just becoming irrelevant.
I'm not here to stand up for the bishops or for the Church of England or for anyone. I'm here to say that if you believe that death is not the bitter end, as the vast majority of us do, if you believe that we're not just flesh and blood, as the vast majority of us do, if you believe that sometimes a sacrifice can overcome the power of the strong, as the vast majority of us find in our lives, if you believe in the end that love is stronger than hate, that the Christian faith, as illustrated by this Easter message, is the story that is for you.
OK, Andrew, thank you very much. Really interesting stuff. Keith Burgess with thank you.